Just to begin, just to really to say that it is really good to be with you here at St. Lawrence this morning. I'm so grateful to be able to share this time of worship and reflection with all of you. I recognize that this morning is the emphasis is on St. Catherine's and the coming together of two communities and looking to the future and God's calling to new possibilities. It is great to be here with you for all of this. I'm very grateful to your rector, Eric, for ensuring that I was here this morning. I'm grateful to Eric for the wonderful priest and pastor that he is, and his dedication and commitment to this parish and to the diocese as a whole. I'm grateful for his ministry and the care with which he has welcomed St. Catherine's, bringing us to this day. I'm also so grateful to Archdeacon Richard Leggett for being here this morning when he does have duties elsewhere, and his guidance and leadership in this process as well. And so great to have Pat and as our deacon this morning, but deacon here in this community. Again, so appreciative of her ministry amongst all of us. We are here to acknowledge a wonderful history and to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we consider where God is leading. We will acknowledge, too, that there is some grief as we consider what might have been and the many people who were part of the worshiping community of St. Catherine's over the years and now, as we have moved through this time of transition. We will acknowledge as well that this is not easy, but clearly has become mandatory to seek new direction. So we'll be thinking and praying about all of this. And for this, we are celebrating the feast day of St. Catherine of Alexandria. Now, I have to confess the truth here. I've heard of the name of St. Catherine of Alexandria for many, many years. But when I started to dig into some of the history of this beloved saint, a beloved saint particularly in the Orthodox tradition, I found rather sparse details. And to be honest, I really like this. Too often there are too many details that have been tweaked and rewritten so that they appear a little different from what maybe the saint's siblings might have described. That's all part of its tradition and this folklore as it grows. But when there are rather scant details, it suggests that in many ways, this was more of a regular person with a devout faith. A person not unlike any of us who want to deepen our own faith, grow in our trust of God, strengthen our doubts, follow the way of Christ in this time in the history of this planet. A person not far removed from who we are, but one who might share in our own description of the pilgrimage of faith. This is helpful, it seems to me. The communion of saints seems closer and nearer. So here's what I found out about St. Catherine of Alexandria, and I'm sure that some of you will know some of this already. She was born in about 287 in Alexandria, Egypt, around about the age of 14. She experienced a vision of Mary and the infant Jesus, and she became a Christian. When she witnessed the persecution of Christians, she went to the Emperor Maxentius to urge him to bring a stop to it. And the story goes that rather than execute her, the emperor ordered a debate. And she took on 50 orators and clearly was the winner of the debate, for many in the audience converted to Christianity. Catherine was then arrested and scourged. Despite the torture, she did not abandon her faith. Word of her arrest and the power of her faith quickly spread, and over 200 people visited her in prison. There is the story of the Holy Spirit coming to visit her in prison. That Spirit represented up here on the wall above the font in the image of a dove is still with us now, here. Eventually, Catherine was beheaded, but many stories continue to circulate about her healing power, her gift of speaking the truth, and her willingness to stand up for her faith, even to the point of death. So that's a little bit about this teenage saint. But as I said, what inspired me was the simplicity of the story. It was her pursuit of justice, her pursuit of compassion, her pursuit of discovery to know more about what it means to live out one's faith, her determination to listen for the guidance of that Holy Spirit. With so few details of who she was or what she was actually like, she does not seem so far removed from any of us gathered here today. But she does cause us to wonder, would we have done the same to stand up against oppression when it might be easier to stay on the sidelines? Would we have questioned those in power, even if we knew it would put us in danger? In the passage from the Gospel of Matthew that we heard just a moment ago, we heard these words: "Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." I sat with those words for a while this week. What does it mean to acknowledge Christ, do you think? Simply tip your cap towards him, or bow to him, or recognize him, or simply know his name? Or does it involve much more? Does it mean being a martyr in his name? Or does it seek to live into his parables of Good Samaritan, prodigal child, mustard seed, or workers in the vineyard? Does acknowledging him refer only to memorizing some of his words, or is it more about allowing those words to sink in and disturb us, to allow his words to change us and form us, to allow his words to cause us to see anew the world as God sees the world, and that indeed blessed are the peacemakers and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? One of the other Bible passages linked with St. Catherine of Alexandria was from the book of Revelation. It's a passage often read at funerals as it puts death in a new light, certainly after the discovery of the empty tomb of Easter. For we heard these words: "See, I am making all things new." These are words, it seems to me, that are related to acknowledging Christ. For our faith is about making all things new. And more to the point, our faith changes our lives and changes our eyesight so that we recognize God in our midst, so that we see Christ among us, so that we discover that the Holy Spirit is still coming to us with new wind and new fire. But this does not mean that we simply sit back and observe. Our faith, like Catherine's, invites us to be part of making all things new. Our faith changes us, and our world needs us to live into our response. This past week, I know I don't need to tell you, was filled with rain and flooding and landslides and road closures and people losing their homes and belongings, amongst many other things related to record rainfall. Our prayers continue to go out to all those affected and continue to be trying to live with the consequences, and also for all of those first responders. Our West Coast has been inundated with strange weather phenomena and unpredictable heat and wind, fire, and now flood. We are aware as to why this is happening. The climate is changing due to human activity. We know this, and yet we're unsure how to respond. COP26 was intended to bring about a strong and a clear response, but that was not really the result. How do we live out our baptismal promise to care for this world and all its inhabitants? See, I am making all things new. God invites us. I know that in this parish you've been exploring more about the relationships with our Indigenous sisters and brothers, about residential schools, about the doctrine of discovery, about continuing issues of racism and colonialism. I know you also discuss reconciliation and that this is not simply a new catchphrase, but involves a commitment to how we live. It's an invitation to rethink how we walk in this world. See, I am making all things new. God invites us. The world around us is changing. People are curious about spirituality. Most have a strong belief in God, but many are not sure what to do with this. Connecting with a church seems daunting or intimidating. Curiosity about how to recognize the science of today and linking that with a belief in God's grace and goodness seems a challenge for some. What is faith really all about? Memorizing certain texts? Or is it living into a love of God and love of neighbor and love of self? Many folks are not sure where to turn, and a number of churches are feeling this. The parish of St. Catherine's is no exception. But clearly they have determined a new way to move forward, a new way to be the church in this time and this place, a new way that acknowledges an amazing history of St. Catherine's, but also that a new chapter is beginning. A new way which involves building new bridges with new possibilities that move forward from what was. See, I am making all things new. God invites us. And this has always been and will always be the way of the church in the world. We are constantly called to pay attention to the world around us and recognize God in the midst of it and inviting us forward, calling us to reinvent ourselves for this time and this place and this circumstance and this setting, acknowledging Christ, following Christ, giving our life to Christ's purposes is not a straight path of simplicity and straight lines. No, faith is all about a pilgrimage that meanders, wanders, strengthens and weakens, grows and shrinks. Faith is coming to see that throughout history and time, God has continued to whisper and to shout, to nudge and to remind. See, I am making all things new over and over again. See, I am making all things new. God invites us. Catherine, St. Catherine of Alexandria, heard this invitation and responded with a determined faith that could not be shaken, an invitation that has continued to echo throughout time. And it is an invitation centered on death and resurrection, new life and new meaning, peace and justice, grace and love for now and for eternity. An invitation to the parish of St. Catherine's and to each one of us on this day and forever. Come and see. God says, I am making all things new. Amen.